literally from the start of Paul's ministry, beginning in Damascus, where the followers of Jesus Christ did not trust Saul's miraculous conversion. There was disunity in the church. At some point, after Saul had grown in the strength of the gospel, the Jews became the ones who sought to kill him. Saul left Damascus, wandering in Arabia for 3 years, then entered Jerusalem. At first, the followers of Jesus were skeptical, until Barnabas convinced them of Saul's conversion. Then, the Hellenists, that is, the Greek-speaking Jews, became a real danger to him. Saul was sent to Tarsus, his hometown. In the meantime, Peter's eyes were opened to the need to spread the gospel to the Gentiles, as well as to the Jews. And so it went, throughout the ministry and ultimately during the missionary journeys of Saul, later Paul. If there was a common thread found in the spread of the gospel throughout the Middle East, Greece, and Asia, it was disunity in the church. Paul, in his letter to the church at Ephesus, chose to describe our unity, first in our separation from God. "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest." Then, suddenly, Paul chooses two words to deliver the hope so greatly needed by doomed humanity. "But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. In spite of ourselves and our actions, God loves us. He sent his Son to walk the earth with us and ultimately to die for us, so that we could be seated at the right hand of God together with Jesus Christ." I don't know about you, but any exposition of the second chapter of Ephesians could stop right here. Nonetheless, Paul continues to describe the solution to the great mystery. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, so that we would walk in them. Our faith is the only active ingredient we bring to our salvation. And yet, this is a gift which we must accept. It is only after we agree with God, who created us and has a plan for us, that we become one in Christ Jesus. Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Paul dramatically describes for us our former condition as Gentiles, apart from Christ, outsiders to the community of Israel, unknowns to the covenants, the textbook definition of sinners. On the one hand, we are invited to recall our previous state of disunity. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall, by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. Paul lays out the bridge, the blood, and the cross, solving all the problems that separate God and man. Distance, discord, barriers, sin. In their place, Jesus created the solutions reconciling us to God. Nearness, peace, the very death of the enmity. In one word, Jesus created unity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near, for through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. Jesus, while among us, gave the same message to all, to those who would listen and to those who would not. The Holy Spirit became the means of gaining access to God. If we agree, we have access. If we disagree, we do not. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints, and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Paul's message to the Ephesians and us is one of incredible hope. While once you were strangers and aliens, you are now citizens of God's kingdom. More than that, you are now family. Even more, you are part of God's dwelling place, the temple built on the foundation laid by those who knew Jesus personally and by those who brought God's word to mankind. The cornerstone of the temple is Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit, as promised by Jesus Christ himself after he rose from the dead, lives inside you. Praise be to God. For now, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace.